Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. This is Oilers Now, and I hope you're doing well. Going through a challenging time. To say the least, let's hope it doesn't get more challenging on Friday. Okay. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063 on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. I'll tell you that guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roos Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roos Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Tell Brendan Taylor and the staff at Roos Chris that Oilers Now sent you. As we head off to our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Pay no overtime rates on their 24-7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. I'm not sure if he was pulling for Gavin Newsom to be recalled in the state of California. You know I had to work in some sort of political narrative, but not one that involved Canada, because you don't want to comment on that.
Listen, people do not watch or listen to this show to talk about politics. Who are you? We Mike Duffy and Craig Oliver on Question Period or something? What's going on?
Now, was Mike Duffy the guy that got nailed for expense issues?
When he was a senator, yes.
Okay, yeah.
A conservative senator, by the way.
Yes. Well, there's I'm sure there's a lot of liberal senators out there that have been benefiting off the taxpayers' proverbial you-know-what over the last several.
Well, and you know, the fact now that I thought we did have an elected senator in Alberta, and I guess that's not going to happen anymore. So.
Oh, okay. Actually,
I don't know what's going to happen. It's weird.
The former writer, prominent Edmonton-based writer from the Journal, is she not a senator? Oh, I'm upset that I forgot. Somebody text the show and educate me on this. She used to comment all the time during the Pursuit of the Arena deal.
Really?
Yeah, a very talented writer. Had a really interesting perspective on a couple different things that actually got retweeted out a bunch of times last week. All right, John, and we full disclosure here. We do have Mike Rupp coming up later on, a Danbury trasher.
Have you seen the documentary yet?
Yes. And so that's where we're going to start, since we got Mike coming down the pipe. Paulus Simons, thank you very much. See, this is once in a while you like to throw a bone out just to gauge your listenership, and we have smart listeners. I've got 15 texts that have come in the last literally 10 seconds. Bob, Paulus Simons, there you go.
There you go.
So, you know, provided a really interesting perspective on her mother, who smoked a long time in her life, and then all the options for smoking got taken away, and she suddenly stopped smoking, and I think she was drawing an allusion to something else that might be, you know, involving vaccination. That's how I interpreted that. But let's get back to the Danbury Trashers. What did you think of that whole story?
Unfortunately... as a former hockey parent and an avid goer of hockey lower than the National Hockey League, it stood the hair on the back of my neck up at times. And it shakes your head, and then you're embarrassed for the game of hockey, but you understand the passion. So I guess it is what it is, and hopefully it's the exception rather than the rule.
Part of the narrative that worked for me, which I kind of got, and just if anybody hasn't seen this documentary, it's called Untold Crime and Penalties, and it's a story about the Galantes' ownership of the Danbury Trashers in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And they were in the refuse collection industry, which was long the standard joke made often by late-night hosts involving guys involved in organized crime. Well, this guy was the physical embodiment of that, John, as you know. But I do think that there's always been an appreciation for the anti-hero. And they were an anti-hero team.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And I mean, there's always something to be said, and there's a tip of the hat always given to teams or groups of players that aren't the most talented and don't come from silver spoon backgrounds. You know, there is that, you know, it's kind of what Don Cherry had in Boston with that lunch bucket mentality.
Yep.
And you could certainly see a little bit of that and empathize with that. But, you know, when you cross the line, Bob, in my opinion.
Well, you know, and they weren't.
But you and I differ on our philosophies of where the game is anyway that way.
What do you mean?
I mean, you still like a good old-fashioned fight, and I'm kind of, I'm a little more reserved about it.
I got no problem with functional toughness. Now, what they were doing was not functional toughness.
No, that was pure and out-and-out intimidation.
All right. You know what? They had a guy on their team, and I was going to wait until Rupp comes on the show, but they had a guy on their team by the name of John Nasty Morasty, okay? And they didn't even show him in that documentary. And I had players tell me that played with him and against him in the Western Hockey League that they think he may have been the worst player they ever saw play in their league. Like, of that generation, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Wow.
They thought...
Now, were you aware of Danbury when Danbury was playing?
Yes.
Were you that smart?
I know for a fact we had Morasty on the show. Because he was involved in these, he was with the Quebec. He spent part of the season in the Quebec Senior League. Because remember, 04-05, Speck and me were grinding, trying to put shows together because of the NHL lockout that year, John. I think Morasty has relatives in these parts. The guy that told me about him was Blake Dermott. Who, by the way, like Blake played both football and hockey growing up, and Blake told me about he knew the uncle or something, and then we ended up getting in contact. So I definitely knew about. I did not know. I'll be honest with you, I did not know about the mob ownership of the team.
Yeah, nor did I.
Yeah, I did not know about that. It's a remarkable story. I don't think it's the only. I think if some people did some real digging on. There's a couple. Let's just say there's ways of doing businesses in certain states and provinces that are maybe a little bit more acceptable than others if you really dug down. But the stories, I thought the documentary was pretty well done. I mean, look, you're a TV executive. You were. Now you're a consultant. What did you think of the actual production values on it?
Oh, no, they were good. And I mean, it's the one type of documentary you can get away with rather grainy footage. It almost provides a texture to what was going on with the show. There's lots of people that would roll their eyes and say, well, the video is not very good. But, you know, at times, you know, that creates a little bit of the illusion and the drama of the documentary. So I as much as I didn't necessarily enjoy the topic that much, I would recommend it for people to watch.
Yeah, and I was comfortable with it. Brent Gretzky went and played on that team. I mentioned earlier in the show, a guy out of the Edmonton area by the name of Mike Bayrak, who used to skate here in the summer, was a real good lower-level minor pro guy, like just couldn't sort of get to that AHL level. Played for the Prince George Cougars in the Western Hockey League. So it's interesting stuff. We'll follow that up. What's the best, just as an aside, what's the best hockey duck? Again, you're a TV guy. What's the best hockey documentary you've ever seen?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I'll tell you what. The two out of Russia, one was called the... I'm going to screw it up here. One was called The Red Penguins, which was a story about how when Howard Baldwin and the guys in Pittsburgh bought Red Army and what they had to do. It's a fascinating documentary. It's out in the last year and a half. Yeah, the Russian Five is really good, you know. And then on top of that, and I don't know where it's available anymore, but Kenny Dryden's 8-part series on the game is just, it's phenomenal. You know, Ken has an approach to the game and an understanding of the game. He's a good writer. He's got a fascinating voice to listen to. And if you want to understand the history of the game and where the game has come from, which was it was a documentary based on the his best selling book. It's very good as well. But I don't know where you can find it. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I don't know where it would be.
And from a purely Oilers centric perspective, I'm going to throw The Boys.
The Boys on the Bus. Yeah,
right?
Sure.
That was like,
I was right in the middle of that too with Bob and Terry McEwen.
Yeah. So for our listeners out there, text us 780-496-0063. Where do you put Boys on the Bus? And think about the time that it was out. Like, this was literally this was 25 years before ESPN 30 for 30, John.
Well, this was the 1986 season.
Right.
And this was supposed to be the third Stanley Cup in a row. And the documentary was supposed to end with Wayne skating around the Coliseum ice with the cup one more time. And it didn't end with Steve Smith's goal. But they had to do an extra 4 or 5 minutes to get you back to 1987 and beating the Flyers.
Yeah.
So it truly was a documentary. And I mean, Glenn Sather embraced the documentary. It dealt with issues far beyond hockey.
Yep.
I think the dinner table scene
at the end.
The dinner table scene at Wayne's condo is as good as you're going to have when athletes actually talking naturally about each other and what's going on. You're right. It's got to be near the top of the list for me as well.
Wayne said, you're only as good as your last shift. And Glenn Anderson said, you're only as good as your last. And we'll just leave it at that.
That's the great thing about DVDs.
Yep.
Or pay-per-view or whatever you want to call it. Or on demand.
Or podcasts.
Yeah. Although I do a podcast. We don't really like people swearing on our podcast.
Yeah. No, I can tell you, when I used to bartend at Moe's Sports Parlor in the city's south side, circa mid-1990s, we popped that puppy in there, that VHS in. And if we had a bad Sunday night game, like if it was, you know, I'm trying to think of who was crappy in the mid-1990s. I guess the Browns would have been. You know what I mean? Like, actually, they weren't bad.
It's a good guess to put. You could say the Browns almost every year.
Yeah, actually, Jack Michaels is going to give me crap because I think in 94, 95, or one of those 2 years, they weren't bad. But if we had a bad Sunday night game, we just, at halftime, we'd flip over and put on, and the guys loved it, right? right out of the slap shot. It captured the whole spirit of the thing. You know what I mean, John?
Yeah. Oh, no, there's no question about that.
Yeah. Making Coco and Tough Guy, the Bob Probert story, were very good. I found aspects of the Bob Probert story hard to watch. I felt bad for him. Boys in the Bus is right up there with Golden Girl. That one comes to us from Big Z. Is he talking Golden Girl, the movie with, like, Susan Anton, that one? Is that what he's referring to? Did you ever see that movie where they basically programmed her as an athlete and she had all these sort of... it was a strange movie.
If I did, I wouldn't admit it. How's that?
Oh, come on. You've seen worse than that. Bob, the movie The Boys in the... the documentary Boys in the Bus is my claim to fame. When they're skating around on the ice with the cup, I'm front row, 9 years old, banging on the glass. And I fired up with the old VHS to show my kids as well. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Bob, what about the series he shoots, he scores? That must be 25 years ago.
That wasn't a document.
Right.
I mean, it was actually a Quebecois.
Yeah, Lance Kant.
Half-hour show, Lance Kant.
Yes.
Shoots, he scores.
Yeah, Lance Kant.
And it was about a fictitious Quebec-based NHL team that the star of the show was all about. I must admit, I did watch it every week.
Well, yeah, and that, it had to run at 10 o'clock at night, as I recall back then.
That's probably why I watched it.
Yes, you're just... did you know that there was a time for entry-level French at the university where that show was actually part of the curriculum? Seriously?
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Bob, what about the Broad Street Bullies and the Miracle on Ice documentaries more enjoyable to me than Boys on the Bus? And I'm a huge Oilers fan when the Oilers entered the NHL. Yeah. All right, wait a sec here.
I don't think I've ever seen a Miracle on Ice documentary.
And the Miracle on Ice movie is traditional, with all due respect to Disney. Come on. Like, they make...
Well, no, but there were two versions. The first version
Carl Malden
was done within about 3 years. Carl Malden is Herb Brooks.
Yes.
And then the one Miracle, which I think was much better, it was shot in Vancouver.
Kurt Russell.
With Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks. And you know, what people may not realize was that Herbie, who was a dear friend, Herbie was the technical advisor on that movie. And the week before the movie finished shooting, Herb was coming home from a late shoot and was trying to get onto the interstate and roll his car and passed away.
Yeah.
That was the last thing he did was work on the movie about his team's success in 1980 at Lake Placid.
Which NHL, because I saw him at the Prospects game that year. I actually sat next to him on the flight out of Saskatoon. And that would have been the 2002 Prospects game, because Bomeister and Lupul were respective stars for their two teams that year in Saskatoon. Do you know which NHL club he was with? It because he was scouting for somebody.
I think he was still with Pittsburgh at that point.
Okay.
I think he was scouting for Pittsburgh. I think Craig Patrick, who again was his assistant coach in Lake Placid. I think Craig looked after Herbie in many, many ways after that. Because remember, Herb went and coached the Penguins and was the coach behind the bench for Pittsburgh and the famous Keith Primeau 5 overtime game that the Flyers won that series on. And the one thing I would say about Herbie is that Herbie still had such a passion and love for the game, and his up until then, and then 2002, remember, he was the coach of Team USA in Salt Lake City against Pat Quinn and Team Canada.
You know, John, just one more thing. Part of the reason I got frustrated watching Miracle was their portrayal of the Canadian team. Because, as you know, that Canadian team in 1980 was basically, it was not a goon team. Canadians are a bunch of, I mean, they were University of Toronto, University of Alberta guys, Jim Neal from the U of C. Like, they were a college hockey team, too. And I don't know about how, put it this, I'm going to throw this question out there. Honestly, for people out there that, and I realize we have a lot of listeners that are under the age of 40 right now, and you're important, too. Never lose sight of that. But for the people that can remember when the Americans were playing the Russians in 1980, how many of you were cheering for the Americans? Because I could tell you, I was 14, I think I 13 at the time, just turning 14. I was not a fan of the Soviets. So I was pulling hard for the Americans. I wanted that upset. It was a big deal.
Was a fantastic time. And by the way, that Canadian team, that was the famous year that the precursor to Hockey Canada deemed that we should have a tri-coach system. And if you recall who the three coaches were, I think Lauren Davies.
Yep, Claire Drake.
Claire Drake and Tom Watt.
Tom Watt, right? Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, so how do you have three coaches coach a hockey team? Because they wanted to make sure that all the constituents were looked after. And had it not been for a tremendously awful goal from center ice that went through, I think it was Paul Pagel's legs, our team would have gone to the medal round. Yeah. Would have been much more through the round robin, at least, would have had a better chance to medal than it did. But it was an awful goal, and it really did cost them the tournament at that point.
Glenn Anderson, Randy Gregg were on that 1980 team.
Sure.
Gregg had... I briefly played in the back then you could play in the Western League a few games. Yeah. I think he played playoff games, and then he ended up at Denver University, him and Ken Berry, who was Austin Oilers prospect. All right, speaking of college, John, very quickly, let's focus on the Oilers. Rookie camp getting going here today, on ice tomorrow, and we've danced around the Dylan Holloway thing for about the last week here on the show. Word was kind of it was getting pretty obvious when you didn't see him out skating with the rest of the players. Now it's official, and this is a little bit of a, like, he's got to get right with his scaphoid, but this is a little bit of a downer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I mean, better now than in a year, or better now than in February. I mean, when you look at other players that have elected to finally have, you know, in most situations, either thumb or wrist surgery, when we look back a year from now, nobody will remember this. And let's face it, I don't believe Holloway was going to start with the Oilers. He was going to be in Bakersfield anyway. This is a transition year for him to learn how to be a pro and to be a good pro. Let's get it fixed. Let's solve the problem so that it doesn't have a recurring issue time and time again, and let's get him indoctrinated into being a professional hockey player.
All right, John, one final text I want to get to, and it's from Hawes, who says, Bob, speaking of Kurt Russell, check out the baseball documentary on the Portland Mavericks team.
Oh, really good. It's a great documentary.
It's called,
it is a fantastic documentary. It was Kurt Russell's dad ran the team.
And it's called The Battered Bastards of Baseball. And I know Jay Woodcroft referenced that last season here on Oilers Now. They kind of jokingly refer to themselves. And a couple texters have come in and said point blank, Bob, I'm with you. I was totally cheering for the United States against the Russians back in 1980. It's interesting. Because I think now, John, we would clearly delineate that the Americans have a better and deeper program than the Russians and are a greater threat to Canada in any international tournament.
No, I think it's the best hockey rivalry on so many different levels, whether it be men or women or under 18s or under 16s. Canada-USA is the number one rivalry in the game right now. And our biggest concern as Canadians is that if the United States allows its best athletes to compete in hockey as opposed to basketball or football or baseball, we're in really big trouble. We are in really big trouble.
How about John McEnroe's line on tennis? Canada will be good, and Canadians will be good in tennis when they learn how to play on ice.
Well, I mean, it's John McEnroe. Come on now.
One final one.
Are you serious?
One final one for you, John. We'd be remiss without mentioning the passing of Norm MacDonald. I know we both have a great affinity for talent. He was a unique and frankly gutsy, some would say ballsy, comedian. Just think of going head-to-head back in the mid-1990s, and you can maybe explain the connection with him and Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live involving O.J. Simpson.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, listen, the measure that I have of Norm MacDonald, first of all, you know, a good Canadian boy. The thing I would tell you about Norm MacDonald that I always marveled at was if you sat with anybody in the entertainment industry, particularly comedians, and asked them, who's the funniest guy you know? 9 out of 10 people would take Norm MacDonald. Within the industry, this guy, you know, he was an acquired taste, I think, for the regular guy at home. But inside the comedic industry, Norm MacDonald was at the top. And I think that's why it's received so much attention these days, that that's how funny he was to other comedians. And that's, in my mind, that's what made him so special.
And for the listeners that are unaware, Don, is Don Allmeyer still alive?
No.
But did you know him? You must have known him.
I met him a couple of times.
Yeah,
a couple of times, yep.
Like, he was way up there at NBC, and he was one of OJ's buddies, wasn't he?
Yes, at a time when, you know, the stars of sports and the stars of television were the best of friends. But Allmeyer and then Ebersole, they all were, when it all began, were on Simpson's side, yeah.
Yeah. All right, John. Hey, wide-ranging conversation. We'll look forward to hooking up on Monday, okay?
Okay, Bob. Just don't trick me into any more. Well, Monday. Just do me a favor on Monday, Bob.
Just go out and vote. We're not going to ask you who you're voting for.
Yeah, that's right. Just go and vote, please.
Yeah, just go vote, everybody. We're not going to tell you who to vote for. Just go vote.
Yeah, right on.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Bob.
You bet. It is.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Currently, currently 12:57 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott joining you in Oilers Now. We'll take a 30-second timeout, come back with a couple texts.
Hi, this is Zach Cassian from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
And I'm being corrected. A texter says, Bob, I didn't cheer for the Americans against the Russians in 1980. I cheered for the Americans against the Soviets in 1980. Just saying, and that's I did make a qualifying statement there myself. So, yes, duly noted. All right, that just a recap on our Oilers Now injury report. Today for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law. When accidents happen, go see James H. Brown. .com. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang at jameshbrown.com. The news today from the Oilers, and it was filtering out and becoming obvious when Dylan Holloway wasn't skating with some of the main guys at the captain's skate. Dylan Holloway had surgery yesterday. He's out minimum 3 months. He underwent wrist surgery Tuesday afternoon, minimum 3 months, more likely 4 to 6 months before a potential return, which would probably see him. Well, he's going to start in the American Hockey League. That's a given. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. David Staples' Cult of Hockey when we return on Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.